بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Life is just one single opportunity. Within this short time, a small opportunity, one needs to make the best of it. The time is gone, the opportunity is gone, you can't ever recall it. It's gone, it's gone. And lucky is the person who can make the best of this opportunity. But this opportunity requires wisdom and hikmat. And hikmat and wisdom is a gift of Allah Ta'ala. مَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. But overall, in the grand plan of Allah Ta'ala, there is a sequence. You behave in a certain way, then Allah Ta'ala brings about certain results. Right? You want children, then you get into a marriage, you make some effort, then Allah Ta'ala blesses you with children. So this is a grand plan of Allah Ta'ala, that you behave in a certain way, then Allah Ta'ala blesses you with that type of understanding. فَمَنْ يُرِدْ لِلَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. When Allah Ta'ala wants to bless someone, then he opens his heart. Then he can see things in perspective. He can see things like how Allah Ta'ala will want him to see. But that requires that his heart be opened. فَمَنْ يُرِدْ لِلَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ. When Allah Ta'ala wants to bless him, then he opens his heart, he can see right. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُذِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدَرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا. But Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to guide the person, then he makes the heart tight. So even if he wants to do the right thing, he finds a lot of constriction, a lot of difficulty. كَأَنَّمَا يَسْعَدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ. As though is forced to climb up into the sky, how difficult it is. So this person finds the ease, and this person finds the difficulty. Now, there's a sequence, there's a pattern. You follow a certain line, then Allah Ta'ala opens your heart, opens your mind, and you don't follow that pattern, then you're going onto the wrong lane. So, the plan of Allah Ta'ala is that He wants us to appreciate the small gifts and the major gifts that He blesses you with. He wants you to appreciate them, smallest of gifts and the biggest of gifts, but you appreciate them all. You appreciate the gift and you appreciate the person to whom you are getting the gift. The gift of life is purely Allah Ta'ala's. Nobody could make it happen. Right? Nobody could have made you. Perhaps you can assemble the parts, but the life, instilling the life, instilling the ability to see, you can make a formation of an eye, but the ability to see is entirely Allah Ta'ala's. You can make the shape of an ear, but the ability to be able to listen can't. Then, you take it at a higher level. You've got the ability to see and to hear, but the ability to enjoy and find satisfaction, that is it within man's choice? You can hear, but does that mean that you are comfortable, you're enjoying, you're finding satisfaction? So that is now entirely Allah Ta'ala's. You can see that. So you can reach a certain point, and at a certain point you have to say, I cut off here, I can't do anything beyond this. So now, in this whole grand plan of Allah Ta'ala, what He wants you to appreciate. وَلَقَدْ آتِيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ. We blessed Luqman alayhi salam with wisdom. So Luqman alayhi salam is coming around the time of Hazrat Ayyub alayhi salam or Dawood alayhi salam. And he's also related in Abyssinian. Right? With all the black features, with the type of hair, flat nose, flat feet, short. So all the features he's got. One person came to Umar radiallahu anhu, and he's feeling a bit ashamed of himself because of his complexion. So Umar radiallahu anhu told him, hey, don't feel ashamed of yourself. Because there were three blacks that surpassed everybody. Perhaps it was Sayyidina Sayyid or Umar, that there's three blacks that surpassed the entire world. One was Mahja, the freed slave of Umar radiallahu anhu. The second was Bilal. He had surpassed and he had overtaken so much. Rasulullah Pasan asked him, Bilal, what are you doing? I see your footsteps ahead of me in Jannat. What are you doing? So he says, I don't know anything what I'm doing, but this is my habit. Whenever night or day, I have to make wuzu, then I perform two rakat of namaz. See this small little amal. Don't disregard it. Who knows, that may be your jannat. You're considering it to be small, considering it to be insignificant. But that very thing that you are considering to be insignificant, that could be your jannat. One lady, she's doing her namaz, the main sunnah she's doing, like how we do sunnah al-muqadda, etc. She's doing it. She's doing a Quran Sharif, zikr, sunnah, all that she's doing. Not extraordinarily pious. But the thing that was prominent in her was she was very, very good to the neighborhood. So she knew how to make cheese. And women, if they have that feminine qualities, they like to go around the kitchen. So you give them the best of holiday, not happy. If you give them a kitchen, they find the satisfaction. So now she's there, and all she does is she makes some cheese. She knows how to do it well. And then she shares it in the neighborhood. Just because of that, she was a generous. She said, a small thing like this. Intention is right. It's how you intend. In the hadith, there are some professions that Rasulullah Pasim has warned us. Satajidu Akzaban Nasi Asawahun. Jewelers are the biggest liars. So Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib wrote a kitab about professions and the evil, the ill effects. When he wrote this kitab, a profession and the ill effects, there was a whole big uproar in Dioban. All said, close the madrasa down, what are they doing? So the ulama in that time, they answered it and they quelled the whole situation. As the Shaykh of Islam, Muhammad Ali Sahib Rahmatullahi, politically he was in a different line. He was for the Congress, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi was for the League. Different line. But now when he saw that Shafi Sahib is going to catch it just now, so he stood up in his defense and he gave a 2-hour talk, and in everybody's anger he just brought it down straight away. 2 hours. And now people that were speaking out against Mufti Shafi Sahib started praising him. So that ikhlas, that sincerity, that knowledge Allah blessed him, and he could have gained some type of political gain here. He could have smashed him down and wiped him out. But no. He didn't even talk about a political issue. He spoke, he saw first the interest of Islam, then the interest of a Muslim. And he saw the whole situation. Hazrat Shaykh Ahmad also he had the situation this way. He said, you see, when the hadith speaks about some type of a situation, it's just a warning that you may find some type of a profession being problematic. So it's not for you to say that this profession is wrong. But because you find a certain type of a problem with a certain type of a profession, then you have to be more cautious about it. Then he says, example is, the hadith says that the first three people that will be thrown into Jahannam is an alim, a wealthy person, or a mujahid. Right? These are the first three classes of people that will be thrown into Jahannam. Because in these three works, there can be a lot of publicity and show. Right? An alim coming onto the stage, giving a talk, people listening to him. So he gains a lot of recognition and publicity. When you anywhere, Sheikh Nisan got one tahniq to do the tahniq, make some dumb water. So wherever he's going, there's some recognition, there's some publicity. So the hadith is warning you that don't make a publicity of this. Don't make it an occasion of boasting, of showing your excellence over others. Don't do that. Because of the warning that the first three people that will go into Jahannam, a wealthy, an alim, and a mujahid, he's given his life, but he's there out to show his valor, his strength, and his might. When I first came from India, from 1979-80, so doing Eid Bakrid, you know, so I said, no, I've studied at home. So, not now, get strangers, neighbors, friends, all that, they want to come and help. Nobody is doing it at home, few people are doing it at that time, so they want to come and help. So I see one youngster, and then the problem is then that the woman also wants to see all the fun, you know. So the youngster now, he rolled up his sleeves and showing his bravery, say, hey, please move away, please let us do it, but it may not. Because I could see now, there's a woman watching there, and he's showing off his bravery. So everything will go, everything will get established now. So I have to move him out. So there are certain occasions, the work itself is great, but it can be linked up to something wrong. You know, qurbani, great thing. The most virtuous of deeds on that day is the spilling of the blood of the animal. That's the most virtuous. But then, if it's done not to show off, and people want to see, wherever there's a cow being slaughtered or run there, see all the action. So the niyat is not right. Why are you going there to see the action? You know, I put down that cow. I put down that bull. I did myself. See the knife I got. See, one stroke and I finished it up. Or I bought a nice prized animal and I want to picture the thing and show it to the whole world. So Allah Pak is watching what's going on. So as virtuous as these actions are, but they can have the element of pride of showing. Now, Mulana giving a talk, what a beautiful talk. And he's hearing all the compliments and the praises. So the same thing that could bring him the highest levels of Jannat can become a disaster and a problem for him. Same with the Qari Sahib, the Alim. He's doing his recitation, he's giving a talk, and what could have been his Jannat being a disaster. A wealthy person could have earned his Jannat, and that's becoming a disaster for him. Mujahid also. So now in all this, what Rasulullah is warning us, that these things, these works here, they may be great, but they have the element of a disaster. So be careful. It's not saying not do it, not to become an alim, not to become a mujahid, not to give out sadaqah, no. But because there are some problem areas that you can become a victim of, so be careful. So the same here, there are different professions and skills. And the skills can bring about a disaster for you, so just be careful about it. Not that that skill itself is bad, but there can be wrongs that can be associated to the wrong. So therefore Rasulullah is warning us, pre-warning us, see what can happen. So we're talking of wisdom. See this Buzuwan Adin, and the hadith that can sound complicated, right? And people can come up in arms, rather become your friends. But if you know the application, understanding how it works, then you can just change the whole situation. But you must know the hadith well, understand it, go through some training, digest it, and then present it. So the person that was totally against you, now he becomes your friend. Why? You've done it. You've done it well. You made him understand that you can do it. You can practice it. And I showed him how to do it. So we're talking about Luqman alayhi salam. And لَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِشْكُرُ لِلَّهِ. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is hikmat. Can you see that? Gave him wisdom. So what is the essence of wisdom? The essence of wisdom is shukr. لَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنِشْكُرُ لِلَّهِ. So what is the essence of wisdom? Is thanks, appreciation, gratitude. And gratitude and appreciation, it works all around, every way it works. It works, the most effective is when you relate it to Allah Ta'ala. When you relate it to Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala loves it. You see what your beginnings were. أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِن تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِن نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُولًا. Right? You see yourself, what you were? You were dust, you were earth, then a despicable fluid. Right? Then Allah Ta'ala fashioned you in His Qudrat, proportioned you, everything in proportion. Everything is right. Yeah. See that both arms are right. Yeah. If one arm was, say, 20 centimeters, and the other one was 40 centimeters, then how you would have looked? Eyes are in proportion, ears are right, nose is shaped right. Gujarati say, everything is in proportion. So, don't you appreciate that? So what you were, from what you were, where Allah Ta'ala brought you to. See, what you were, and where Allah Ta'ala brought you to. أَصْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمُهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنًا. Then He poured upon you His favors in exceeding measure. ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنًا. Some are visible and some are visible. Your physical formation, your complexion, everything in proportion, everything, no deficiency, is all visible, right? Everything is visible. And there are some favors of Allah Ta'ala that are not visible. Like I said, you got the ability to see, but the ability to enjoy, find the satisfaction, is it visible? Can't see. You have the ability to enjoy, to get the satisfaction and fulfillment. You have it. So favors are visible, you can see, and some you can't see it. You've got a mind, but you can't reason. You can't analyze situations. Right? You can't find proper exits to situations, solutions to the problem. You can't find the problem. So, one is the person, Allah blessed him with the ability to see things right and to arrive to the right conclusions. Right? So, these type of blessings, can you see it? Can't see it. It's Allah's. It's not a complicated thing. You have to read to the person that and so easily found a solution for you. So you couldn't have seen the thing, and in few seconds, Allah Ta'ala granted him that understanding that he can bring you to the right conclusions. See that? One man was here, just showing the right. So, I'm not advertising for the building. The building is over now, please. I'm just showing you his personal experience. So the discussion was on riba. So he took it very seriously. So whatever business, I don't want to tell you that. If I lead you, then you say, oh, this is what you're speaking about. Yusuf Bai, Ismail Bai, whatever. So on. He's here. So he heard the whole talk against riba. Now he's thinking, hey, you know what? Our business is revolving around riba. Now, we're getting major clientele and they want that type of orders. For us to deliver those orders, then we need to have some type of facility in the bank. The bank will give us something. We will prepare the product and give it to the client. If we don't, then we can't produce the product and we'll lose the client. Now what do we do? So he went outside the masjid. He spoke to his family members. See, first day, last day, cutting all this riba out. You got a client somewhere, wherever, whichever country we got, we go up to him, try and see all these things cut off, because we are involved in riba. And that is the curse of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so we can never prosper. Come what may, we're seeing the millions, but we can't see prosperity. Why? Because this thing is attached to the curse of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So it is attached to the curse of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so we can't prosper. Anyway, he spoke to his family people, they all agreed, they went up, they flew up to the person. Now before they could talk to him, so this client of this says, you know, you people are doing such a small thing, and your product is so good, why don't you just double it? And now take another 10 million and you produce this thing for me. What near they went with, and because of the beauty and the purity of the niyat, Allah Ta'ala not only saved his business, but he multiplied it. You see? So sometimes when I look at a person, I think, hey, you know, it's ordinary people here, they overtook us in the purity of the intention, the goodness, and the goodness of the ikhlas, you know. It was so much that he just needed 2 million to do the production. This man is offering 10 million, go do the thing. And don't worry about the payment, whenever you're able, you do that. And he says, more after, you know, businessmen talk, how they talk. He says, more after that, I never look backwards. That's how they talk. But he just began to prosper, just began to roll. You know, there's a project, I'm giving 2 million here, I'm giving 1 million here, 3 million. And I don't look backwards. But you see now, the purity. This is called hikmat. That you heard, this is Allah Pak's words, this is Nabi Sassam words. I must go by it. I must try my best. I mustn't act like a Tarzan. I mustn't act like a brave person. With all the humility, but this Allah Pak's words, the words of Nabi Sassam, it can't go wrong. Let me go with that. Close my eyes, close my brains, let me go with it. So, what is the essence of wisdom? Thanks. Allah Pak gave you the reasoning, gave you wealth, gave you a business. So, gratitude, what does it amount to? How do you show gratitude? You know, I was wondering, the Quran Sharif says, what? Some people that are unfaithful. What he says? أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُ. Unfaithful, worse than an animal. So, it intrigued me that you are termed as being worse than an animal. So what's the relationship? So you look at one tafsir, other tafsir, then Allah opens your mind. So see, if you do a small favor for an animal, right, stray dog or something, and you throw some scraps, right, for a couple of days, what it'll do? It'll guard your premises, right? In your presence, it will want to show its appreciation, wag its tail, it'll come and rub its body against you. He wants to jump before you. He wants to show, you know, my hands up, I really, really appreciate. But what you threw at it, there's some scraps. But the scraps that you threw, that was also not yours, it was Allah Pak's given. This animal that is supposed to be called a senseless animal, that thing is showing so much of appreciation. Ask yourself, by which favor you didn't enjoy from the hands of Allah Ta'ala? Was there anything that you didn't enjoy from it? Came directly or indirectly, but all came from Allah Ta'ala. What are you showing? So are you equal to an animal? Ask yourself. What this thing does for you, at any time of the day and night, you call the thing. Huh? And that thing is at your beck and call. Doesn't it happen? There's some dangerous situation, you see. Doggy or puppy, whatever you say. But that thing is at your beck and call. You call the horse,
At any time of the day and night, they said. But the little bit of comfort, stable, you give her some grass or whatever, what it costs you, nothing. But what is doing for you? And are you showing some level of appreciation, gratitude to the one that gave you every blessing? The blessing of life, you are nothing, right? What are you? Ask yourself, what are you? The blessing to enjoy, the blessing to gain satisfaction, fulfillment, I say, is that your creation? It's purely 100% Allah Ta'ala's. He gave you. Say, you had the tongue, right? But you didn't have the ability to enjoy, no taste. I know people, wealthy, very wealthy, but they don't have the taste in them. They have the nose, they can breathe, but no sense of smell. Absolutely no sense. Can you see that? Now, Allah gave all these things. Some are gifts that you can see, some they are gifts that you can't see, but are you showing any level of gratitude? So you see, when Allah says wisdom, what is wisdom? Gratitude. And gratitude at every level, small level, big level, at every level, gratitude. Anishkur lillah. وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ. But if you are showing gratitude, it's for your own gain. It's not that you want to fill up the coffers of Allah at home. Don't think you're doing any good for Allah. It's for your own gain. Because that gratitude is such, it's not only a preservative, it's also progress. You want to progress something, you want to progress in something, then show a very, very, very good level of gratitude. You see, you will progress, and the blessing that you've got is preserved. See, it's a preservation plan. You know, now they talk of a cover, a hospital cover, water cup cover. But now, the best preservative is gratitude. That's the best. But you do it in the way that you're supposed to be doing. You know, from your heart, from the recesses, you're saying to Allah, in tears, I don't deserve anything. It's all your gift. That famous hadith we come across. Rasulullah brought up for tahajjud and he's crying all the way in the standing position, in the ruku, until his Mubarak beard got wet with tears. And then Aisha, his respected dear wife, she says, Ya Rasulullah, but why you cry so much? When Allah has forgiven all the future and the past, so why? What? لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَرَ. Everything is wiped out. No balance you've got. You only got credit. No, nothing you've got. So his words were, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. So be thankful then. But then the choice of the word, عَبْدًا شَكُورًا, it's showing two things. That to get that perfection, you have to have gratitude supported by humility to the level of a slave. فَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Again I ask you, just think of that dog, or think of that horse, what does it do? You gave it a little bit of comfort, a little bit of enjoyment, you have given it a little bit, some scraps you gave it, right? What does it do after that? Everything, you come down, come lick you, right? I don't say allow you to lick yourself, but it wants to show you some level of gratitude according to its reasoning. It doesn't know what is pak and napak, does it know? It doesn't know. But to the level of its understanding, it wants to show you some appreciation. Or khuda ke azmat ke pesh nazar, humne kya qadar kiya? Kya qadar kiya? Asbagha alaykum ni'amahu zahiratan wa batina. He's done so much, so much, and so much. Not only that, but he has blessed you with respect and recognition, reputation. Amongst people you go, hey, who came? So and so came. Don't you feel you've got that reputation? Whose blessing is this? He gave you wealth, gave you health, recognition, reputation, you know, all these things here. أَصْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنَةً. And then,
goes on, that whole ayat goes on, right? Respect to parents. And in the process of respect to parents, anishkur li wali walidik. Gratitude to Allah Ta'ala and gratitude to parents. As though Allah Ta'ala is showing that you're going to be grateful to Allah Ta'ala because He is the actual bestower, but you're going to be also grateful for the means through which you got these type of gifts. I ask you, who was the first person that blessed you with the gift of Iman? What do you say? It's your parents. The first person who blessed you with the gift of Iman. Can you ever repay them for that? See? That first foundation stone was laid by your parents. They gifted you with Iman. Kalima, Azan, Takbir. They initiated you. So what level of thanks you are supposed to be showing to them? Showing them. Do we do that? Anishkurli wali walidi. Anishkurli wali walidi. So it's alluding to the fact that the one that is so grateful to you, he's been so kind to you, then what level of gratitude are you supposed to be showing to those people? The same now is tawsu bin nisa'i khairan. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advice for the last time, that be kind to your wives. To women, be kind. You don't extort them. You don't make their lives constricted. It is so much for you. They have imprisoned themselves for your comfort. Haven't they? Now then, they imprison themselves for your comfort and then you extort them. Give me this. Pay for that. Are you a human being or an animal? What are you? Are you a human being or an animal? What are you? They actually imprison themselves for your comfort. And then you have the audacity to say this type of thing. I say, are you a human being? What are you? Understand. What are they doing for you and what are you doing for them? So all those people that come in the line of showing you some favors, some bounties, some good that they're showing you. I tell you, the wife wasn't doing anything, but she saved your iman. That because of her, your mind is not wandering around haram. I say, is that not a great favor in itself? She's around, so your mind is not wandering. You just to say, take a send her home 1 month. See what happens to your wife. What happens to your mind? Bagar nature, your mind will work. 1 month she's away, whatever. Everything your mind will go this way, that way, go. It's a very good one. خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلِيهَا. He created spouses from yourselves, right? From within yourself, He's created your partners. From Adam alayhi salam, He's created Hawa alayhi salam. From within yourself, He's created. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلِيهَا. That you live with them with peace and tranquility. Right. Sometimes you joke with his boys, they're getting married now, they're 4 or 5 years in the marriage, 2 years, 3 years in the marriage. So I tell him, hey, so she went to mother's place now, you don't have to run after her. We're joking, make a little bit of life lively. You don't have to run after her. But they actually tell you, Mulana, kis dunya mein tum rehte ho? Woh neend nahi aati uske bagay. I can't feel her. I can't get sleep. But actually told me, I face one direction, all that we are finishing, then karwat ko badalta hu, turn the side, being one whole tasbih, I still can't get sleep. She is there, I don't have to interfere with her, but I just relax. But you see what Allah gave you, with her, through her what Allah gave you. So this, the fact that she protects your iman, and your integrity, what? Your iman and your integrity. I ask you, isn't it something to be appreciative of? Now, you're turning it around. As though you're doing the favor, she must pay. You see, here's your brains. Aren't you shameful? Aren't you shameful to lose such a thing? She must feel, amen. This man is keeping me like a queen. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullahi right, as old as he was, right, as old as he was, but right till the last, he used to call his wife, Dulhan, what? My bride. Now, Hazrat is over 70 at that time, but I think at myself, what was his wife feeling, my bride? Just that one word, my bride. As though she's feeling to herself that I'm appreciated in your eyes like the day I got married. Not that I'm an old, used car, you know, just supposed to be dumped. No, you are still loved and cherished like the day that you married me. But you see, just the words, how you talk to them, what you do for them. So, anishkuri, the shukr. When you got that element of shukr, then the shukr will make you do everything else. And if you don't have that element of shukr, then you think, oh, I'm doing so much, and they must do. By akal kahan gayi chali, where's your brains? Then the people that are working for you, right? You are at an authoritative position. And the people that are working for you, right? They make mistakes, small mistakes here and there. Do you overlook their faults? You want your last cent from them, everything out of them. Did Allah make it so hard for you? Did He make it so? See, in the season here, how many people can say that all, you know, from the beginning of the season, when Fajr Namaz came, say before 5 o'clock, right? And we always got the Takbir Ula. So we shortchanging Allah Ta'ala, but He's still paying us. He's still blessing us. We shortchanging. Can we say that we got the Takbir Ula this whole season? So I repeat this type of advice. I say, in this season, please, Allah Pak say, don't have any dawahs after Isha. Right? Don't have any dawahs. Dawat before Isha, please, for Allah Pak say. Bryce before Isha. Just round it up, everything. Finished, even cleaning up before Isha. Cleaning, brying, everything, but before Isha. So the cleaning is done, the eating is done, after Isha go and hit the bed straight away. So at least you will get off Fajr in the right time, you do some Quran Sharif, and if Allah Ta'ala blesses you, you will do the Tahajjud as well. I went with, shifted things around, 1 day, 2 days get lost. And then to recoup those things, you think it's easy. فَكَأَنَّمَا غُطِيرَ أَهْلُ وَمَعْلُمْ فَاتَهُ الصَّلَاةُ كَرْنَ. So as though you incur such a loss, as though you lost your wife and your wealth. It's such a loss. And even though it was a mistake, how do you feel for the rest of the day? Our brains have gone such that I lost a customer. But you missed out that namaz. You didn't feel that. Right, I overslept now. You know, Allah will overlook. I ask you truthfully, if your key worker, right, your key worker, is boss, you know, I overslept, man. Are you going to accept that type of excuse? Are you going to accept that he's your key worker, main person in your whole operation, and he overslept? Will you accept that excuse? So, do you see the kindness of Allah Ta'ala and our ingratitude? The kindness of Allah Ta'ala and the ingratitude that we show. That's why I say, before sleeping, at least clear up your things. Clear up your sin, ask Allah's forgiveness, thank Him immensely, cry. You know, you over-favored us. You did so much. So we didn't deserve anything. But you did so much, and so much, and so much. I'm really, really thankful. And I cry for my weaknesses. Now, what you have done effectively, you have cleared all your accounts. If you die in the state, you die in a beautiful state. Because you died with a full heart of appreciation and remorseful over your wrongs, Allah will definitely look at you favorably. Instead of listening to the phone, watching things and all the stupid things, and complicating and confusing your mind, now at that time, last things, Allah, please forgive me. I'm too grateful. I don't have the words to thank you, Allah. I'm shouting doing that as well. And really, I'm really, really miserable. I'm really remorseful for the wrong I'm doing. I know you've done so much, what am I doing? So, thanks to Allah Ta'ala, to the parents. Then the people that were in the line to bless you with this type of gifts, your workers, right? I ask you, those workers, when they're in place, would your business be prospering? You needed them, so see them right, not in the Christmas time, please. Eid time, Eid Bakri time, you bless them, right? Not conforming with their festivals and their seasons. So this period that we're going through, there's several things that we need to understand. I'm talking of thanks. One is, around this time people are going for Umrah, right? One is, then you're approaching Ramadan, right? Then generally people want to give out the zakat, right? Then the last thing is, with all this, is this silly people with silly behaviors around this time. Doesn't happen. So these four things you have to be taking a lot of care of. Get your preparation for Ramadan, right? You know, the preparation is like you're doing all the arrangements in your business. You know, the clientele is going to come now, right? This time they're coming. So you set it up very, very well. Prices, the marketing, read very, very well. And you know, within 3 weeks or within 2 months when they come in. So everything is set out. So Ramadan also is straight, exactly the same. Before the Ramadan, plan the whole thing out. I'm going to do it, what I need to do, how I need to clean myself, how I need to correct myself, right? Did everything. From now, you made yourself into, put yourself into a routine, coming early to the masjid, reading some Quran Sharif, remembering the Takbir Ula, making some zikr, asking Allah's forgiveness, not fighting with anybody, not arguing. Even if it is that your rights were being trampled, a Muslim will see it the other way around, that am I fulfilling his rights? If Rasulullah is coming later that night, you know, so he has to make fikr for the ummah after Isha also. He has to make fikr for the ummah, people's condition after Isha also. So making mashal with Abu Bakr, Radiyallahu etc. So it's all for the ummah. But when he's coming to the house, and so gently, nobody will feel he's entering. Gently. He's coming in gently. So, one is Allah Ta'ala, then the parents, then your wife, then your workers, right? Right? Then those people that are cooperating in the community, in dini works, in good works, they are cooperating, they are working, right? Then you appreciate them. Right? Someone is volunteering to do some security work. Someone is volunteering to do some janaza work. Someone is volunteering to do some work for the yatim, for the poor, for the aged, right? Then aren't they working for your sanity? Alhamdulillah, you got someone for the yatim, someone for the sick, someone for the aged, someone for the janazah, you got someone. So aren't we supposed to be thankful to them? This Imam is like this, and this one is like that, and that person is like that. Right, they do so much, alright? They are human beings, they make mistakes here and there. But do we show that level of respect and appreciation? So this is a preparation to Ramadan. It's gratitude. See the gratitude. It can't be perfect without that level of humility. Coming to your business again, you're not proud. But you say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. All this is just because of your doing. This is your doing. So you don't see my hard work and my commitment, you know, the days and the nights that I put into this, is a result of my hard work. No, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. That is just your doing, and nothing could have been achieved without you. So that I must be thankful. See, your Muslim's outlook will be different. It will be just adjusting some thoughts in your mind, but what a world of a difference it will do. Just some thoughts in your mind, you have adjusted, but what a world of a difference. You think to yourself, you're going home, and you think about the goodness and the kindness of your wife, what she did for you for the day. She stayed in the house, not going out because of you. She prepared the food for you. She saw the children well kept, the house. You think of all the favors that she's done, right? And then you're walking in the house, and how will you walk? For frame of mind. And then you think, oh, I did so much for this woman here, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I do this. They don't show me that love and all that. Now you will come with a grumbling and a dirty heart or a good loving heart. So it's just about adjusting the mind, and your mind can be so beautiful that the house is a blessing, the wife is a blessing, the children can be a blessing, but it's just a matter of you adjusting your mind, correct your mind. Really, I'm not worthy of this. I'm not entitled to this. You give so much. I tell my tomb, sometimes, you know, we live in a king's year. Every day is a special day. You know, I have time to tell them that, you know, you're overdoing it, so much you're doing. Right? This is a token of appreciation. But just the small things in place, and what a world of a difference it does. And they'll see now, if this man is wearing this kurta, then that topi must come with it, and that color of socks. The stupid auntie, what are they doing? They really spoil it. No, they spoil it. They overdo it. But now, do we show that level of appreciation, love, appreciation, gratitude? Allah put that love into their hearts. They will see you nice. Put that little bit stain now. Hey, where's the other stain here? So, as though your goodness is their goodness. Your well-being is their well-being. And something went wrong with you, they feel it so seriously. So do we show the level of appreciation? Yeah, small things you put together, but what a difference it brings to your life. You know, life is about adding value. Business is about what? Adding value. So your deen is also about adding value. And that adding value is just a small adjustment in the mind. Adjustment in the mind, and you'll get it right. That person has added, he just made an adjustment in his mind, he got his jannat. He ate that khichdi without salt, right? And he didn't show it, he didn't express it in any way. Right? Perhaps two things were in his mind. It's a gift of Allah, how can I complain? And if I express this to my wife, how she'll feel? And Rasulullah never complained about the food. So these were the two, three things that must have been in his mind that we cast in his jannat. But when you analyze the story, it's just an adjustment of the mind. If she said one harsh word, so what? I must pull up my finger. Hey, why is she calling me this? Donkey. Gadero. But you don't understand. She's deficient, so she will, at some point, she will say something off course, right? She will say something. Some 2 cents are lost, right? Lost. So she will say something. I ask you, an easy way to overcome that hurdle is, right, see, a person is mentally challenged, right? Then he's expected to say something. When he's expected to say something, then you get upset with him. Why? Because you know that he's mentally challenged. So similarly, Allah is telling us in advance that she's got some weakness. So that weakness will come at some point. Some points to say something, some, right? So you can't take them seriously. When you take them seriously, then you'll make this marriage a rocky marriage. You won't show the appreciation. So I tell you oftenly, just the fact that she's saving your iman, how much of thanks you should supposed to show. And then now do you understand why the essence of wisdom is gratitude. Right? Essence of thanks is gratitude. Now, coming to the masjid, for example, just putting small things together and just making some mental adjustments, and how the rewards just multiply. So you come into the masjid, so you apply some nice attar. Right? Obviously, an attar that is agreeable to other people. Not something synthetic and people will get headaches, right? Something nice, pleasant. But other people, their minds work in a strange way. They're looking for the cheapest attar that side, and then make ikram of the whole masjid. And they don't realize that it's creating headaches. A synthetic one, that's managed synthetic, you can make it out. And then I said, hey, I'm such a generous person, I'll pass it on. I have a nice attar container, and the cheapest attar, fill it up, pass it on to the whole machine. Is that the right spirit? Do you do that to your guests? The cheapest things in the market, you can offer it to your guests. Do you do that? You don't do that. So, that attar that is nice smelling, that people appreciate, according to the season, right? You wore that. With that frame of mind, that utter, the malaika liked it. I will get the love of the malaika, their duas. Why? Because they like it. Number two, it was the sunnah of the Anbiya alayhi salam. So I'm on the way of the Anbiya, the way of Rasulullah Paksa person. So that no time any Sahabi will say that we found, na'udhu billah, a foreigner. One Sahabi says, when I touched his hand, I didn't find a musk as fragrant as Mubarak hand. I didn't find a fragrant something like that. It's a sunnah of the Anbiya alayhi salam, right? Number three, Allah Pak likes that. Number four, I'll go to the masjid, the Muslims will like it, they'll feel comfortable. See what the fourth sawab. Then you remove the odor from your mouth, miswak, etc., right? Again, mirdatul li rabb, it brings the happiness of Allah Ta'ala. Then it multiplies the namaz sawab by 74, right? So in one action, how much of value you can add? One action, how much of value you can add? In the business, we think, add the value. You just make some adjustment. Now this product is 10 rands. You can add value, make it 100 rands. Don't you think like that? We add some values, and we can just pick up the value. Don't you do that? So can't we use that same brains in our deen? How must we just add the value? So we came to the masjid now with all humility and a strong feeling of a sense of remorse, you know. I'm not doing this right. But my broken effort, please accept it. I'm wrong, I know I'm wrong. مَا كَانَهُمْ أَنْ يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفٌ. We're coming in the state of fear. So small adjustments, but what it will do to you? They're coming now, you're coming for a short while, but what it will do to you? You're coming now, coming to the first step, humility, not looking around, not wasting your time. From the time you set your foot in, you think, well, what must I do? Quran Sharif, some namaz, some dua, some tasbih. So that short time that you gave, you took the maximum benefit, you added the value, not losing the value. So this is called hikmat. So in a sense, what is hikmat? What is hikmat? To do the right thing, to say the right, to do the right, to say the right in the right way. Not only to do the right thing, but the right in the right way, with the right approach. All right, put all the elements together, now that's called hikmat. But now you did the right thing with the wrong approach. The approach was wrong. So that's not hikmat. I told you right, this is the right thing. But the approach was incorrect. So that's not called hikmat. They say, one king saw in his dream that all his teeth had fallen down. So he asked some of his advisors, what is the meaning? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. All your family people will die before you. Go. Sleep. He called someone else, an alim, more understanding. He said, MashaAllah, what a beautiful dream. You will outlive everybody. Same thing, but how he reworded it. How he reworded the whole thing. Allah blesses some people with the understanding of dreams. Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahmatullah, he was a master in the interpretation of dreams. So one person says, you know, I saw in my dream that I bust the egg, I pulled out the white, and I left the yolk. What? Busted egg, I pulled out the white, and I left the yolk. So Muhammad ibn Sirin asked him, did you see the dream? He said, yes. You saw? Yeah. No, first he asked him, who saw the dream? So don't worry about that. Tell me the dream. No, I won't show you. Tell me who saw the dream. I saw the dream. You saw it? Yeah. You can take an oath? Yeah. So just call the police and handcuff him straight away. Aren't you a kafanjur? Stealing the coffin, breaking the graves, pulling out the white, and leaving the body. And you say, no, I messed it up. But please, Abdullah from Allah. So this wisdom, this ability to see things rightly, right perspective, understanding, that's the gift of Allah Ta'ala, that in a few strokes, how much you can explore the hereafter, how much you can gain the hereafter, a few small little strokes. I think it's not a difficult thing, this adjusting of your time, adjusting of your mind. A little bit of restraint and adjusting yourself, and how much you can gain. Someone may tell you something, but what will you lose if you just restrain yourself? If you restrain yourself, your anger, your emotions, you just restrain a little bit. So, aapka kya chala gaya? What happened? You lost anything. You didn't lose any restraint. It's a slight adjustment, and how much Allah gives you. We hear of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi, people swearing him. And then Imam Abu Hanifa just forgives the person straight away. And sometimes, it doesn't mean that we insult Allah Wala's. It's not a license to insult them. They will forgive. But sometimes Allah Ta'ala acts on their behalf. They try to insult and abuse, then Allah Ta'ala will take retribution on their behalf. So that you're putting the person down, insulting him, running him down, and he's keeping quiet. One person now, you want to disgrace Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. Now you see the man's great reputation, people are talking about him, his court status, you know, an international status, everybody is referring to him. So he has to humble him down. So he says to him, knowing that his mother is widowed, that I want to propose to your mother. It's an insult, obviously. The man is about 45, 50, so the mother was about 70, over 70. And at that time, what he's saying? That I want to make a proposal for your mother. So Abu Hanifa is not showing any emotions. He's saying that my mother is an adult, right? And when she's an adult, then I can't do a marriage unilaterally. It must be done subject to her consent. If she doesn't consent, then I can't unilaterally do her nikah. So allow me some time, I'll go in and ask her if she wants to marry you. No problem. By the time Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi returned, saw his head chopped off, clean. He says, قَتَلَهُ sabri. My patience has killed the person. Oh, ulama say, ulama time says, please, for Allah's sake, will you be coming in Allah wala? And somebody hurts you, then take a little bit of revenge. So that person gets saved. Warna wo tabah ho jayega. Understand? You took a little bit of revenge. So Allah's revenge, Allah's punishment will be just withheld. Right? One person says that I saw a man and he was totally handicapped. He's crawling. Grown up person and he's totally handicapped. So I asked him, but everything seems to be normal. Why are you handicapped? You can't walk. He says, no. Rasulullah was performing namaz and I crossed in front. Right? And Rasulullah said something. From that point, I became totally handicapped. So the ulama explained that perhaps Rasulullah could see at that time that some serious problems will come to this person here. So he tried to divert that by a smaller version of an adab. See, a lighter version. The dunya tabah ho jaye, akhirat uski tabah na ho jaye. He must have been, Rasulullah must have been very, very close to Allah Ta'ala at that moment. Very, very close. And at that time, this person is disturbing, disrupting. He's so close, you know. Imagine to yourself that Laylatul Zufaf, you know. So you're battling for the bride. Right? That was your pride, right? For whom you cried. Right? And now, you're just about to be there, right, with her. And someone disrupts you at that time. How do you feel? Now, the connection with Allah Ta'ala is a billion times more. And now Rasulullah is there. And this person is disrupting. So when Buzurg is going with his murid, to a well or something, and one person tries to play the fool with the Buzurg. So he has a load of filth, you know, dung and all that. So let me just throw some dung on this Buzurg. So he threw that. So the Buzurg told his khadif, his attendant, please go and give this person one slap. So the attendant delayed. Now he says, you know, the Buzurg always, his whole life was a life of restraint, and today he's telling me to go and hit him. Perhaps he became impulsive and he became intolerable. So let me just hold back. In the meanwhile, some lightning came, struck that person, died straight away. So the Buzurg says, you killed this person here. I told you, please go and just give one tamasha. That will divert the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you are coming now at that level of righteousness, coming very close, if someone does something, just some slight thing to divert the punishment of Allah ta'ala. It's not a general law, but it is for those people that are at that level. Otherwise everybody will say, no, I'm awesome. Now all these people say it, because everybody got a mind of his own. Yes, I'm almost there now, you know. I'm almost there. A few seconds and I'll give the order. And you must just see one through dreams. And say, no, see, my Buzurgi is just endorsed. Saw that dream? How you know the shaitan is making it appear for you that you are so very highly elevated, you know. So he's tricking you, showing you some pious person or something, and he's tricking you into thinking that you're very, very exalted, right? So now you shout to your wife, you know, whole night. And you know, I'm making fikr for the ummat. I'm burning with the fikr of the ummat, right? And you are burning with the heat of the stove. I'm burning with the fikr of the ummat and you with the stove. See, we are worlds apart. Where am I and where you are? So you become boastful, you show an attitude, Allah will break you. So this shukr has got the two elements. One is the gratitude has to be just escalated all the time. But it must be supported with a very, very high level of humility. Without that humility, I tell you really, you can't progress in this path. Can't. Do what you want. Say what you want. They call it fana. But then, I always used to think that fana refers to humility, and I found it. But definitely it refers to that humility. That as you are progressing, then your humility also must grow, proportionately. Progressing, that humility must grow. So we're talking of Uthman alayhi salam and how Allah Ta'ala blessed him. One, two words of his wisdom, right? He says, there's parties and there's a fun fair of a wedding. I'm giving my own words, right? Then don't attend these things. Fun fair and parties, etc. Because that will take you more towards dunya and the comforts of the dunya. It'll make you forget about your real purpose in life. Unfair parties, elaborate weddings. Yes, that which is sunnah, attend the nikah, a simple walima, that is sunnah, you will attend that, you conform to the sunnah. All the additions, you know, all the additions, that, don't attend that. Now that will definitely divert you from your cause. It will take you away from Allah Ta'ala, away from the sunnah, away from your actual home, that is the akhirat. It will divert you. Then he says, that when you see Allah Walas, right? Genuine Allah Walas. It means the whole figure is hereafter. You are reminded of Allah Ta'ala when you are in their presence. Then try and stick to their company. Company means, now you don't have to be there with the Buzurg now. Some of you must be there. The Buzurg is there, must be there. Just be around. Like you are here, the masjid, the Buzurg is somewhere around, it's alright. Because they say now, what they say, these type of people, when they are in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, in the service of Allah Ta'ala, and you can see that the intentions, the ways are right. So at some point, at some time, some special blessings of Allah Ta'ala descend. If you are around, you will also get it. See? Because they are in the service of Allah Ta'ala, remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, their minds are right, their sincerity is right, they got that bonding with Allah Ta'ala. So you be around them. So when you're around them, you don't know when is that lucky moment. We're talking of preparation to Ramadan. We don't know when is that lucky moment. You may just try. And you're around, so you become a recipient to that mercy. But then in that, when you are around them, you're not in a state of ghaflat, unmindfulness. Whatever you're doing, Quran, Salih, Namaz, Dua. So when you're in the state of focus towards Allah Ta'ala, and you're near them, right, then that special mercy will come, and you become a recipient. Like I said, you don't have to be by them, exactly. But that will get tired of you now. He needs to see someone else, he needs to do something else, and then you are disrupting his mental state, aren't you disrupting it? Just being around them. By the same token, he says, when you see people in a sinful state, wrong state, then you won't be around near them at all. Because it's likely that some wrath and anger of Allah Ta'ala may come down, you being around them, and you may get partly struck. So I was thinking about this, and I saw two, one is hadith and one is verse of the Quran. Rasulullah Pasim is passing by the Diyar al-Samud. Right? La tamurruna illa wa antum baqun. So don't pass them without crying. Cry. Speed off from the place. Don't be near there. You have to cross this, so speed off. Cover your face. Don't eat and take anything of that area. Makhafata ayusibakum ma asabahum. It mustn't be that some remnant of that azab may fall upon you. You know, you get this radioactive Hiroshima, right? So the radio is just about almost 70 years, right? 47 somewhere. Almost over 70 years, but that radioactive is still in there. So when that can be still felt, can still get affected, so this azab can't even be felt. Right? So when this wrong is taking place, at a time or a place where this wrong taking place, then you just keep clear. See, the Quran says, Rabbi imma turiyanni ma yu'adun. Rabbi fala taj'alni fil qawmi zalimin. Allah, if you know that impending azab is supposed to be coming on the people, then fala taj'alni ma al qawmi zalimin. Let me not be a recipient of that. I'm around there, and although it's meant for them, but I'm around them. So when I'm around them, and that thing is striking, I may get caught up. So Allah, when you're intending something like this, la taj'alni ma'al qawmi zalimin, don't make me amongst them. So what I understood from this is the time and the place where wrong is taking place, wrong is in abundance, at the time or the place, then obviously the curse of Allah Ta'ala is descending at that spot. Wrong, shameful behavior, indecent behavior, people are going off their minds, right? Behaving in all type of stupid ways, right? And now you are there, or you're watching them. In some way or the other, you're watching them. You're watching them with an eagerness, with enthusiasm. So I ask you, at some time, won't they get caught up? Won't they be a victim to this azab? Are you watching them? Are you watching them with enthusiasm? Or you are there? So what's going to be striking these people here, you are seeing them, you're watching them, or you're around them, you're also going to be struck. You can't say you will not be struck. That is why around this time of the year, see, from around December, right, say the second week of December, right about the first 7-8 days of January, I think this is about the worst period. I think it's the worst period. Many people are getting struck down just around this time here. So where you can avoid these places, you avoid, whether it's shopping mall, whatever. But these things are loaded with satanic influences at that time. You can't believe. The man is doing so well. And then it's a wrong association, wrong place. So you went there. But I ask you, don't you see the elements of satanic influences there? Music is blasting, people are behaving, the clothing is not right. Everything is going on there. But you trying to cover yourself with all innocence, that is meant for business. I ask you in all truth and sincerity, right, around this time of the year, you know what will be the state of the beaches, right? So any man, any Muslim has got some level of respect, will he go to the beach? But he knows now, with this modern age, and someone can just snap him. And there's a woman, the bikini, just within meters, snapping. Too beautiful, huh? How will you take that? Does it look nice? I mean, once I snap, then they send it around. I ask you, is that a nice place to be snapped or to be viewed at? So you know that they're acting silly, right? And you're going to be there, something's going to happen. And when this is going to happen, you lost your integrity, you lost your deen, everything's going to be lost. You see that, إِمَّا تُرِيَنِّي مَا يُعَدُونَ. If you show me in my lifetime what you're warning them of some impending punishment, if you were to show it to me, don't make me a victim. So that means the time and the place where the wrong is being perpetrated, allow me not to be anywhere near there. Allow me not to be anywhere near there, that what is going to be striking them is going to be striking me. This is Luqman al-Islam's nasihat.